Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You are listening to Absent Minded, brought to you by HabsEyesOnThePrize.com.
BetOnline continues to be your number one source for all your basketball wagering needs, including pro and college hoops throughout the year. With up-to-the-minute odds, stats, and trends, you can follow your favorite team's path to the playoffs with live in-game betting, contests, and all the best player props. Experience the world's best wagering platform anytime from your desktop or your mobile devices. Head to BetOnline to become part of the team, and remember to use promo code BELIEVE, that's B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here.
Hello and welcome to another Absent Minded. It's Patrick Bexell, and today, of course, it's Thibaut Châtel. Thank you, Thibaut, for joining us. Your data and your write-up on David Reinbacher's season for your own website as it was extremely good.
Thanks, Fat, for having me again. Maybe that's the last time.
Come on, Rohrer is in National League next year, and he's having a good year as well. So
yeah, he's having a great year. Last time about Reinbacher, maybe plays in Switzerland for sure.
Unless there is a world championship in Switzerland that we don't know about, but you know. He might, you know, until Montreal makes the playoffs.
Yeah, the 2026, the world championship is in Switzerland.
Yeah, well, you know, that would be borderline if Montreal makes the playoffs in 2026.
Yeah.
Now, jokes aside, so as I was traveling home and as you were having lunch, Montreal has come out with the news that David Reinbacher has been assigned to the Laval Rocket and is most likely packing his things up for a cross-Atlantic transition into Laval Rocket and helping them reach a playoff spot that is right now out of their reach, or at least out of their standings.
Yeah, no. So that was what everybody was expecting. That's kind of the question I had asked a lot of time during the past few months, when Reinbacher will be in Laval. And the closest date we had was March 15th. If Kloten did not have to play their play-out series against Ajoie, because none of the two teams from the Swiss League, so the lower league, Visp and Olten, are still in the playoffs, and only those two teams can be promoted to National League. So if no one can be promoted to the National League, there is no need to have a playout series. Kloten or Ajoie are not going to risk players' injuries or playing from the half crowd or whatever. So That's it for David Reinbacher times in Switzerland.
Indeed. And next time we'll see him in Europe, it will be either Canadians on a road trip or in an Austrian national team jersey. Realistically, though, he's had a up and down season in Kloten. We'll go back to that later. But what kind of expectations should we have on David Reinbacher entering the AHL? Expectations and which pairing do you see, man? I mean, Mayu has been very good at the first pairing.
I honestly do not know Laval enough to make the pairings or anything. I guess one thing for sure is that they bring him over so he can play. So that means maybe one of the more veteran guys are going to have to be benched or something to make room for him. We're going to, I guess, get back on his season later, but this is a fresh start for him. It has been a messy year. So he's finally leaving Kloten. And knowing the kind of player that he is going to be pretty excited to start in Laval. start fresh. I think he's going to be pretty willing to make a good impression on his first few games. Hopefully that will not lead to too many mistakes because he's overcommitting or whatever. But yeah, I guess more than anything, is going to be very excited to play with better teammates in a new town and making the trip over to North America for good.
Raptors crowd as well. Everyone is going to want to look at David Reinbacher. We'll leave that bit, but expectations, what do you think, what are the things for a fan to look at, what he does very, very well?
His vision of the game. Big eyes, small eyes, going to be an adjustment probably for him, even if he looked pretty okay over the summer when he played those couple of exhibition games for the Canadiens. But his vision of the game, defending his own blue lines, winning puck battles, making the first good pass for zone exit, joining the rush, patrolling the blue line offensively, making himself available for backdoor option or diving at the top of the circles, those kind of plays, like seeing where the play is going to go and put himself into position to have an impact there, whether it's defensively or offensively. Is he going to have to adapt to faster pace of hockey, the smaller rink? For sure. I mean, he's not going to burn the AHL right from the get-go. But doing the things he knows how to do well and do them from the start will be pretty pretty good expectation, I guess.
We do know, though, that Claughton's practice ice is actually NHL rink size, so he has been practicing on and off on the smaller ice surface during the season, which should facilitate an easier transition into the AHL. Obviously, speed will be different because AHL speed compared to National League speed is different, but also practice speed on top of that is going to make a huge difference. Yeah. Let's go back, and I know you can't say whatever I'm going to say, but this season falls straightly on GM Mitchell's feet, or in front of them at least, because the way he went around this summer to sign coaches, to replace coaches halfway through the season, change system, et cetera, and I mean, like, if you look at it, you get a coach from the DEL and now I lost his name.
Jerry Fleming.
Fleming, yeah. And he hasn't really succeeded as an assistant coach in the AHL, as a coach in the DEL, which is obviously, like, let's be honest, what, two, three steps down from National League? Then change system as well, in order to make a run or at least make a stable team out of Claughton in the National League with a small budget as well, because that is something that maybe not has been mentioned as much in Montreal media and in including Eyes on the Prize. But Claughton is a small budget team in along the big fishes in the lake of Switzerland, right?
Right, but I mean, it's Arpan Baswin, Marc-Antoine Gonin were talking about that in their last podcast. Like, when Arpan interviewed Larry Mitchell was like, yeah, but we're where we belong, kind of answer. Like, this is what was expected of us, to be 13s out of 14 teams. And I disagree with that approach, mm-hmm. Obviously. I mean, they were ninth last year with an even smaller budget.
Yeah.
They were playing a smart type of hockey for a small budget team, play their rush chances very well, just wait and be patient to get their own chances. Very effective and creative first wave of power play with the import players, the best player on the team. That simply disappeared this year. So if you think yourself as a small team, and we're going to beat a small team, and we're going to be beating up every night, but that's where we belong, I mean, you're not going anywhere with that mentality. And that's not an excuse for me. I mean, small budget like Langnau battle for the last playing spot, the 10th spot, till the last day of the league. Rapperswil, which is a small budget as well, they made the playoff, they made the top six the past 2 to 3 years as well. I mean, you can create surprise if you have a good coach and surprise your opponent and play your chance very well. But if you're just thinking, oh, we're going to lose anyway, we're a small team, that doesn't lead anywhere.
No, exactly. And I think, you know, you're bringing in a coach with less than stellar experience. There were other coaches around, but obviously probably asked for more money. I know in December, there were big name coaches asked to join Kloten, but they turned it down for obvious reasons. And then they went in and got a coach from the Italian league, more or less.
Yeah, the U20 or the Swiss second league system, but yeah, whatever, but no experience. Yeah, it's, I mean, obviously it's hard to find a coach during the season. Actually, the team was maybe playing better under Michel himself.
Yeah, I know.
Than with Stéphane May at the end of the year. Yeah, I mean, I guess as a GM, if you put your full trust into a coach, I guess they talk system, they talk strategy before the hire was made and so forth. And they did not see coming the disaster that the season was going to be. I failed to understand that part personally. And the same goes with the roster. I mean, their top defenseman went back to Sweden.
Well, he had atrocious year in Kloten, and then he had an even worse year in SHL.
If you were looking at the underlying numbers, he was pretty good on puck possession. He was pretty good in both sides of the ice. The puck luck of the team was just atrocious, and they were not scoring, so he could not put up any points. So he just leaves, and that leaves a big hole in the offensive department at the blue line. And I mean, it's a whole series of decisions like that that surrounded the team all over the year.
It's not easy to fire yourself, though, but maybe that's what Mitchell should have done.
I don't know.
You can't really answer that, but you know,
I cannot answer that. If you're a small team, and I mean, the National League, like the SHL or the Liga, is not, there's no salary cap. I mean, you have big budget teams and you have small teams, and the expectations are not the same.
Well, let's be honest, the biggest budget team in Sweden is actually in the relegation battle this year. So,
true. No, I mean, if you're big budget and you're playing like crap old style hockey or whatever, you're going to be disappointed. But if you're a small team, and it's the same in any sports, you have to find ways to compensate for a smaller roster.
Marginal gains anywhere.
Yeah, anywhere.
We look at it, though, and with that in hindsight and in our minds, you have data in your article, and I've used it in my article as well, that clearly shows that, you know, David Reinbacher has improved this year in more or less every aspect of the game, except maybe it passes into high danger areas. But that's, you know, a very simple thing to understand, because there were no high danger areas for Kloten anywhere on the ice.
Yeah, no, exactly. That's not something the team was doing a lot. And you even have to be in position of trying those in the first place. So, and when you're trying, then you have to complete those passes. And if the forward you're aiming at is just out of reach or blocked by a defenseman or whatever, you're just not going to complete those passes. So, no, I guess that's part of what I wanted to show in the article, because obviously the points production dropped. The possession numbers dropped. He's in the negative waters for goals differential for the first time in his career, et cetera, et cetera. But if you look at the underlying numbers of zone exits leading to a shot for his team, zone entries in control, he improved all over the place. His shooting position in the offensive zone, he moved away from strictly his right point, getting closer to the top of the circles, making himself available. And on the video, I mean, the way he's battling on the boards and the vision of his games that we mentioned earlier, you know, finding a right first pass, trying those long stretch passes to go directly from his defensive zone to the offensive zone. He tried a whole bunch of those that are going to be even more effective on the small heist. So, yeah, I mean, if you take away the whole collective disaster of Klotten, that was still a development year despite that and despite the injuries.
Indeed. And you mentioned something which I have found very interesting, and you pointed out to me so I could look at it more seriously when I got the opportunity. And that is, you know, we all see that David Rangbacher has built up his physique this year. He's bigger, you know, all over the boards, really. But it's not like the Kotkaniemi situation where Kotkaniemi built up from the waist and up and thereby raised his center of gravity, which made him fall over much easier. Whereas David Rangbacher seems to have worked on the core as well, and including the legs, keeping that center of gravity kind of, you know, at the same position, but strengthening all the aspects. You see it along the board battles. He can work his stick, freezing the player with his legs, like a lot of serious professionals do. You see it in NHL, you see it in SHL, you see it in KHL, so and the top teams in National League, obviously. Very, very important aspect, I think. Partly, it shows maturity in the way he develops. It shows maturity in the way he approaches the game and he learns from it. And it's something that he definitely will bring into an NHL and AHL season down the line.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I will always remember his first game back in September, and he was in the starting lineup, and I put on the game in the video, said, who is that guy? I mean, he's like one head bigger than everybody else. Yeah, if you look at the official profile, he put up like about 10 pounds over the summer. Mm. It led to some troubles with his skating and balance over the first few months of the season. We talked about that earlier on, getting harder for him to pivot to defense against rushes, etc. Then the injuries to his knee did not help at all. He's back on track now. So we're gonna see the full Heinbacher in Laval, the guy that can just pin you down with one thigh and having his both arms and stick free to recover the puck and make a pass over.
You mentioned injuries, 6 week hiatus really in recovery process. Klotten went out with it being a knee injury. I've heard from sources close to Klotten that it was also a fractus radius, with a small microfracture. And it seemed to have impacted his game, not only, I mean, like you mentioned the skating, obviously, and the knee injury, but also his puck handling at the first games back was really strange in regards to that smooth puck skills that he usually has.
Yeah, absolutely. And even his shooting volume, clearly he was not shooting the puck in the first few games back. And I mean, I was comparing him to his previous season all along the year, and the shooting attempts was really going down, and somewhere in December he went back up because he was feeling ready to use his wrist more. So, but that again is back to normal.
Indeed, and it is a fantastic player. I think, you know, I keep going back to this metaphor with soccer and having a right defender that could always start the attack and being arguably one of the most important players on the pitch. David Rangbacher is kind of that player. He's very well secure defensively. His big reach, he's a zone entry, you know, machine in killing it off. But also he has that outlet pass, as you described earlier, which is set to start counterattacks, catch teams on the backside or on the heels, and create opportunities, really.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think he's way more rounded than people thought of him. And we talked about it since draft day, basically. He shined by his defensive game last year, especially for an 18-year-old. in the National League. Once again, the National League is not the development league. There is barely any prospect playing there because it has to be a Swiss prospect because you're limited in the license or foreign players that you have.
Or you get Auston Matthews that is not really a prospect anyway.
Yeah, it's not happening. It might happen more in the future, but it's not happening. The Swiss junior player are going to Canada or Sweden or whatever. Anyway, but we always said he had that offensive upside in him. The breakout zone exit were already good last year. The type of hockey, rush, base, counterattack that Clotin was playing last year was not mean for defensemen to be involved that much in zone entries. Like their play was stopping in the neutral zone. He went better this year and very effective with it. And like you said, he has that stretch pass ability, very accurate, but he also can just take the puck and skate up the ice. And once he gets going, that's a pretty big machine to stop. he's big and he keeps the puck close to himself, and he's only going to get better as handling it. And if you remember, we talked about that play at the World Championship last year where he tried to dangle the whole Swedish defense and get
and almost did it.
defenseman and almost did it, but he was 1 year ago and he almost did it.
And he came up against an NHL defender, or was it Sandy, and they just tossed him. But I mean, it's understandable, and I like that play not because the Swede took him down, but because it showed the ability and the confidence, and maybe that is something that we have seen during the season, that his confidence has gone up and down, even in games. That at certain times in games he's been very good, and 5 minutes later he looked like he was playing pub team hockey.
Yes, I guess that's one point. I think you pointed it down yourself in your article. His confidence was huge last year with the injuries at the beginning of the season, the collective Malmström in Kloten, it went down. It took a moment for him to like reassess, also realizing he does not have to carry Kloten over his shoulders. He's not the savior or anything. It's just a 19-year-old kid that has to develop. And get his confidence back, knowing he can just do what he does best. And just by doing that, he's going to help his team. But that being said, there is some kind of nonchalance all throughout the season at times. And that's something I pointed out in the article, is one of the biggest disappointments in this season is that, yes, Reinbacher played hockey, pro hockey, big time on ice minute, but he did not play meaningful games. And that's the shame of that season for me, because it was clear Kloten was going to be out of the playoff race very early on.
I like second game in. Third, maybe.
So, I mean, they were very, very far away from even the race for the 10th place, for the play-ins or whatever. I mean, they scored more than 20 less points than last season as a team. Anyway, so, nothing to fight for, basically. And there is a part in me that would have loved to see him play that playoff series against Ajoie, just to see him in meaningful games. Like,
we see it now, and it has been described by SHL players. It's a series you never want to play, and there is no more hardcore series to play. You can't show yourself outside. Everyone in the town is after you or want to talk to you about how bad everything is going, and you just lock yourself into your house and deal with it. And that is maturity in itself, to learn to handle that kind of pressure. He's going to a pressure cooker in Montreal, obviously. But I would have loved to see, there are two aspects. I would have loved to see the playout series perfectly, but I would also have loved to see him, even if I have a very big, a huge understanding of why he might have become nonchalant or tired of the situation, But I would also love to have seen, totally understandable for a 19-year-old kid, but I would also love to see a little bit more professionalism at that stage. But I understand why it's not there. You know, you mentioned it, not everyone has your fantastic analytics page up, but just you mentioned it in your article, and I think you should explain it here as well. You take a look at his plus minus from last year to this year, and it's minus 15 or something like that in comparison.
Yeah, tag on tag, yeah.
You know, can you describe that for the avid listener that might not have read your article or might not be as well advanced and just looks at elite prospects?
Oh, it's just, I mean, looking at his goal differentials at 5-on-5 only, not the plus minus that everybody knows. So last year, obviously, Kloten was a negative team, but he basically was the only player in the team to have a positive goal differential at 5-on-5, despite being on a team that was suffering every night. So that was really, really impressive. And yeah, no, this year that did not happen. He just ended at minus 15. And looking at the data, the whole top line of import players in Kloten, so the two Finnish guy, the one Canadian, they all ended the season at minus 15, minus 20. So Reinbacher minus 15 in his most trusted defensive pairs, Steve Kallenberger, captain, minus 32. They just basically were facing the top lines from all the teams night after night, and they could not handle it. I mean, it's the talent, but they're a pretty good player on themselves in a good team, but it's the talent as part of a bad team.
You know, we have to say it. I prepped you actually for this question, so I'm not going to hide it, but you know, there is another Montreal Canadian prospect, you know, a tram line, a tram stop or two down the Rhine, Mason Drawer. You know, we mentioned that he got to play first pairing minutes. He got to do this. He got to do that in Kloten. Imagine if we had Reinbacher in the Lions, in Zurich Lions, which is, you know, this is arguably the biggest budget team in continental Europe. Let's just,
oh, yes.
Everyone should be aware of that who's listening. But if you just listen this time, you should know it. What kind of role would you have expected Reinbacher to have on a team like that, where his numbers might have looked great, but he might not have played as much?
He would have played top four for sure. They have such a big roster that they have a very balanced defense. I mean, if some names are going to ring a bell to the NHL fans, I mean, they have Mikko Lehtonen that played for Toronto for a while. They have Dean Kukan that's coming straight from Columbus NHL, Swiss. They have Weber, obviously, former NHL as well. I mean, they have plenty of very elite talent, and they're spreading them all over the defensive court. But they're still playing their pair by style, so he probably will have the defensive task in that brigade. And but top four for sure. I mean, you still have the talent to do so. I mean, that's one thing I was thinking, because obviously we're talking about Ekström in the SHL as an HABS prospect as well. But when we're thinking about top NHL prospects playing in Europe, by their draft plus 1 year, usually we're talking about like maybe number four defenseman. Mm-hmm. If you're a forward, you're going to be like cracking the third line of offense, something like that. It never happens to have the biggest time on ice on your team, unless you're generational talent.
Rasmus Dahlin didn't have, he was a fourth or a second pairing defender with power play time in his draft. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that is, you know, just as a comparison, you know.
That's exceptional. I mean, there is Leon Mugley playing for Zug right now, and he's going to be a borderline end of first round this year, and he's having top four duties at 5-on-5 and no special teams. and is a very good prospect in my mind.
Yeah.
And you have another Daniel Ustinkov, mm-hmm. also probably second round at the next NHL draft. And he's in the Zurich organization, actually. And he was number 7th defenseman, and he's now in the Swiss League with the farm team.
Yeah. Who played out, obviously, the Alton.
Who beat Alton?
You know, it would have been really funny to Montreal asking Lions to send down Rohrer to make sure that they lost.
Yeah, but they cannot bring him back up straight, I think.
There you have it. Interesting to talk to you, Thibaut. I'm sure we'll get back to a certain Rohrer at one time or another. Are you raising the expectations now that he comes to a better team in Laval, or are you lowering your expectations because he's coming over and it will take some adjustment?
I think I said something at some point during the season is that, or even maybe in my article, the key point of sending Reinbacher back to Switzerland was that the quality of competition he was facing every night was going to be great. Like, we're talking players with top AHL level playing in Europe. That's what you want for your prospect.
Also
those
less
minutes.
Travel. You know, there are other options surrounding hockey as well.
Yeah, but just in terms of quality of hockey, the quality of competition was going to be good. But after that season, and especially with everything that went down in Kloten, my point was that the quality of teammates that was missing at his stage of development as a future top pair defenseman in the NHL. So one thing I'm very excited about is for seeing Reinbacher in the AHL in Laval, having top quality teammates at 5-on-5 and on special team. That's not an attack on Kloten's player. It's just, if you're developing to become a top pair player in the NHL, at some points you need to step up, and maybe already needed to step up this year.
You've been listening to Absent Minded with one of our favorite kids, Thibaut Chatel. Thank you so much, Thibaut. And we'll be back with more Montreal Canadiens content down the line.
Thank you, Pat. Anytime.
This episode was brought to you by Bet Online.